2 Thessalonians 3, verses 16 through 18. And now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Father, once more, we thank you for the peace that we have in Jesus, and we pray that our time reflecting on that this morning will cause us to even more greatly honor and praise our Savior in our lives because of the great gift that you've given to us in him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who ever tried to decode my handwriting recognize the hypocrisy about what I'm going to say. I'm the kind of guy, you know, when you get those finger things where you have to sign, and I can't ever get my whole name in there, and I am sure that it never looks the same way twice at all. But have you ever looked at someone's celebrity's signature or maybe even a doctor's signature and said, what in the world is that? I can't figure this one out. Even when someone says to you, oh, that's so-and-so's handwriting, you say, I don't see it. That can't really be genuine. Well, as we approach the end of our time together in 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians as well before that, Paul wants us to know that this really is his signature at the end of the letter. So he says in verse 17, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. It is the way I write. This really is my signature. And it's the same signature that I put at the end of all of my letters. He signs off in a few other of his letters in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians and in Colossians and Philemon. And Galatians tells us one other interesting thing, and that is he says, I write with large letters. So it's very clear that this is Paul's signature. And Paul, like many other learned men of his day, probably had most of his letters dictated. We do know that Romans 16:22, I, Tertius, write, I'm the one who wrote this letter, and I give you readings. And so to make the letter authentic and to verify that it's really coming from Paul, even though he's dictated most of the letter, he has his signature at the bottom. And this is really significant. If you recall, at the beginning of chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians, there were people in that city who were very much unsettled because someone had claimed to write letters and speak on Paul's behalf. And Paul wants to go out of his way to make sure that the people of Thessalonica know that this really is his genuine letter to them. This is authentic truth. These are the Holy Spirit inspired words of Paul. And that's important, of course, for us to remember as well. This really is an authentic, a genuine blessing that Paul gives us in verse 16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way, the Lord be with you. The peace of the Lord Jesus is indeed a genuine blessing. This is nothing counterfeit. This is nothing that we have to wonder about or question. Remember, throughout chapter 3, Paul's been using the term Lord to refer to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sometimes, as I've told you in the past couple of sermons, sometimes refers to Jesus as Lord, sometimes as Lord Jesus, sometimes as Lord Jesus Christ. All these terms, an emphasis on the second person of the Godhead. So Paul's prayerful benediction is that Jesus will give the Thessalonians his peace. And this peace is a genuine blessing. And it's verified for us often in Scripture. We find this phrase, the peace of the Lord, the peace of Christ, the peace of God, throughout many benedictions in Scripture. It is indeed a common benediction in the Bible. Most of us know Numbers 6:26 tell us, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And Paul, throughout his epistles, ended with a desire for the readers to have the blessing of the peace of God upon them. Romans 15:33, may the God of peace be with you all. Well, the Jehovah God, of the covenant God of the New Old Testament, is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God, the same one who brings us peace. And no doubt in Paul's mind, then, is there about the divinity of Jesus. When he offers us the peace of Christ, he's offering the peace of the God of heaven. And he did so already for the church at Thessalonica. In his first letter, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." So this common benediction is one that is a genuine blessing for God's people. And it is one that, if followed closely, will bring the sanctification, the growth in grace that we ought to have as God's people. And the reason for that is this genuine blessing of peace results in our sanctification because it is a blessing of reconciliation and of wholeness. A blessing of reconciliation and of wholeness. Peace, oftentimes we think of as a cessation of conflict, but it's far more than that in its biblical context. We're all familiar with the Hebrew word shalom, and it is a greeting as well as an ending and a benediction. But it really was a blessing of serenity, of harmony. And when you offered God's shalom to others in the Old Testament, you were really seeking for their prosperity as well. So this is an all-encompassing word, this word of peace. And Paul recognizes that the shalom of the Old Testament is only fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus, of course, is our source of reconciliation with God, and in the one in whom we have all the blessings of spiritual wholeness and prosperity. And there's probably no better place to turn than for us to spend a little bit of time reflecting on what we use as our assurance of pardon this Lord's Day. If you want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18, because this does more fully explain to us the peace that comes because of what Jesus has done for us. And Paul is addressing both the Jews and the Gentiles of the church at Ephesus, and he's emphasizing the unity that these brothers have because of Christ. And so he begins in verse 13, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off," that is the Gentiles who were not part of God's people, "you who were once far off, you've been brought near." But notice, you've only been brought near because Christ shed his blood for you. Christ is the source of reconciliation for us as God's people, for to one another. "For he himself is our peace, who's made us both one. He's broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, and so he made peace." Paul begins by emphasizing the unity that we have as brothers in Jesus. And it was no longer the case that they had to argue about the ordinances or the commands of God's law, the Mosaic law, especially whether to be circumcised or otherwise. These ceremonial matters no longer mattered because Christ has made us one. He's reconciled us to one to another, but of course we recognize the only way that happens, as we continue to read, is that we're reconciled to God. And so we read in verse 16, "And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Twice in our verses, Paul mentions the Lord's sacrifice for us at Calvary. We cannot be reconciled to one another. We cannot have peace apart from Christ's substitutionary death on our behalf. And we recognize that, but we need to revel in that and rejoice in that this Lord's Day. We need to rejoice in knowing that we have peace with God the Father, and we have peace with one another because Jesus shed his blood for us. Never, ever, ever leave out the cross as you reflect on the peace that we have, but never leave out the cross when you reflect on the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, "He came and he preached peace to you who are far off, peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father." And so, yes, it is true that the peace that we have with the triune God comes because of the work of all three members of the Godhead. But Paul is emphasizing for us both here and in Ephesians and in our text in 2 Thessalonians that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the source of our peace. Notice in 14a of Ephesians 3 that we just read, the Lord Jesus, for he himself is our peace. Paul's being emphatic with the use of the pronoun himself. And so too, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, we read, may the Lord him peace, of peace himself, give you peace. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we who are united to Jesus, we who have had our sins forgiven, we who have recognized the need for Jesus can rejoice in that this Lord's Day. But I never presume that all who hear this have bent their knee to Jesus. And I would exhort you, if you are apart from Christ, if your life is a mess, you don't know the inner peace that only Christ can give, I exhort you to turn away from your sin, to look to Jesus who died on the cross for sinners, to be reconciled with God, and then know that one of the blessings of that reconciliation is peace with him and with one another. And we who are God's people then recognize Jesus is indeed our source of peace. He reconciles us to God. He unites us to himself and to one another. He is our Lord of peace. Now, if this were Christmas time and I was preaching this message, I would recite Isaiah 9:6. You know it. He's our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. But since it's not Christmas time, I won't quote that verse for you. I'll ask you to consider with me. I just did. I know. But I want you to consider with me the fact that even on Palm Sunday, we have a reminder to us of the peace that our Lord Jesus gives. So turn back with me or listen once more to the words of Zechariah. Zechariah proclaimed these words 500 years or so, even before our Savior came to earth. The Holy Spirit revealed to Zechariah this detail of Jesus' life so that God's people would be aware of it, both in Jerusalem, but for us now, looking back on things 2,000 years ago, seeing the unity of God's word, we too can rejoice in our King of Peace this Lord's Day. So, Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. It's interesting, Zechariah doesn't tell us what word they wind up using, but we all know from the Matthew and the Mark and the John accounts, they cry out, Hosanna. Not a word we use too often, a word that really is pretty hard to define. It is more than just yip yip hooray. It's not just, let's have a parade. By the way, my wife and my daughter went to a church of another denomination, I'll say it that way, and they heard a Palm Sunday sermon, and it was all about enjoy parades. Well, I want us to enjoy parades, but I want us to enjoy the Prince of Peace far more than just enjoying parades this Lord's Day. Our focus needs always to be on Jesus, not on the parade that he happened to be in. So that word Hosanna does mean more than just hooray. Best way to translate it probably is save now or save us, we pray. But it is both a praise and a prayer, and it is a shout of acclamation and of exclamation. And here's why. As we read on in verse 9, behold, your king is coming to you. He's righteous, and he has salvation. He's humble. He's mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We won't go through all those details about why the donkey and all of that, but please note, our passage is very clear. When our king comes, he's coming to give us salvation. Yes, the Jews misinterpreted that, thought of political deliverance from Rome, but we recognize far greater deliverance, far greater prosperity that we have because our Prince of Peace, our King of Peace, came on that triumphal entry day. But he's also humble as well as righteous. He knows he's about to face death. In humility, he's ready to do that. And he is the righteous Son of God who can make peace with God for us in our salvation. So yes, we too should proclaim Hosanna, hooray, save us now. We have been saved, so we pray. But notice also in verse 10, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. See, this is a warrior that's coming. He is a king, but he's a king who has to deal with the conflict. He has to bring us peace. And he does bring us peace. He shall speak peace to the nation. His rule will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Doesn't that sound prosperous? Doesn't that sound peaceful? Doesn't that sound like great serenity? And there it is. Jesus brings those things for us. And so we ought to rejoice in our great King. Our great King who fulfills that office in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in conquering and restraining all his and our enemies. And that, of course, is from our catechism. Well, we just sang earlier about our King of Peace. He comes and he rides into Jerusalem in majesty, even though he knows he's about to die for our sins. But that's the way the King of Peace brings us salvation. And then he comes victoriously to overcome sin and death in his resurrection. And our song went on to tell us and remind us our King of Peace is now reigning in heaven. He's taken his place beside God the Father. And I purposely chose to have us read the Luke account of the triumphal entry because of the four gospel accounts that record the events of Palm Sunday. The Jews proclaim Jesus as the King of Peace only in the Luke account. And so notice Luke 19:38, how it does reflect on what we read in Zechariah 9:10, that our King would bring us peace. Luke 19:38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We might have expected the people of Jerusalem to proclaim peace on earth, and that ultimately comes only because God is reconciled, only because there is peace in heaven. And that is because, of course, King Jesus is in heaven on the Father's right hand. He is the King of Peace. He is the one who has reconciled God to the human race. And that's the great cause for praise for us 2,000 years later. You know, we really should shout Hosanna to our great King. We should shout, blessed is the King who's brought us peace, who has reconciled us to God. Well, our text in 2 Thessalonians goes on to tell us that the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a temporary, every once in a while kind of thing, something we can tap into on a monthly basis or anything like that. The peace of the Lord Jesus is all-encompassing. Two phrases that emphasize this all-encompassing peace. And the first one is this, at all times. At all times. And we all know what at all times means. It means that it is continual and it is unchanging. And that's important for us to recognize because the circumstances around us change so often. And we might think that the peace of God and the peace that Christ gives is dependent on these circumstances. But we can rejoice in knowing that it is a peace that the Lord Jesus gives us that is for all times. It is continual and it is unchanging. See, God is reconciled today and God will be reconciled tomorrow. Jesus is our King of Peace today and he will be our King of Peace tomorrow. We are united in harmony with Jesus as God's people today, and we will be united in harmony with God's people tomorrow. That peace that God gives us in the Lord through the Lord Jesus is at all times. It is continual. It's all changing. But it's also all-encompassing in this way. Our text tells us that Paul wants the God of peace to bring that peace in every way to the Thessalonican saints. And it's kind of a clunky translation to translate this phrase literally. And I understand why most have not rendered it this way, but let me just give it to you as it could probably most literally be translated. May God grant us his peace at all times and in all turnings. In all turnings. You know, sometimes we talk about life has its twists and its turns, right? Unexpected things that happen, not unexpected to God, of course, but unexpected to us. So by using this phrase, in all turnings, Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica, in all circumstances, you can have the peace of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I want for you as the apostle of Christ himself. And remember, Paul has been talking time after time in both this letter and his first letter of some very, very great unsettling topics, right? He's had to address in these short epistles things like false teachings, confusion about Christ's second coming, the ongoing persecutions that the saints in the city have been facing as a result of their stand for Jesus, the revelation of the upcoming man of lawlessness who will be guided by our great enemy, Satan himself. That's disturbing stuff. And then last week, we read about the lack of unity in the church at Thessalonica because there were some disorderly, lazy men who were not working and they refused to work, and that brought disunity to the church of Thessalonica. But in spite of all those problems, Paul can boldly seek the Lord's blessing of peace on God's people at all times and in every way. And here's why. Because the peace does not come because of our circumstances. It comes because our King of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever, in all times and in every way. It doesn't matter what twist, what turns life may bring us. We face, and I know we face, physical heartaches. Many of us are hearing more and more of physical wearing down of our bodies. With that comes emotional turmoil, or other circumstances bring about emotional turmoil in our life. Not sure what direction to take as young people, what life path to follow, and that can cause turmoil. And then sometimes those of us who get to be news junkies spend a lot of our day seemingly all upset because of the unbridled success of wicked men, it seems, in the hand of Satan in our society. They seem to be winning the culture war, don't they? And we can get distressed by that. And yes, sometimes we look to the church to give us the peace that we want, and then what we see theological disputes, we see turmoil, we see lack of unity in Christ's church. Well, none of these things will bring us peace ultimately. Whether the circumstances change for the better or for the worse, and Isaiah knew that. We need to heed Isaiah's words this morning. Isaiah 26:3. Do you know this very precious portion of God's word? God is being addressed directly by the prophet. And Isaiah says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." It's real easy to take our eyes off of Jesus and look at our circumstances. It's real easy to lose the trust in our great anchor, the Lord Jesus, that we need to have. So stay focused this week, regardless of whatever heartaches you may face. Keep trusting in your Lord of peace, not in your hardships. Even in the midst of all the turmoil of this life, remember, he has all that turmoil under his control as well. And he really can bring you perfect, continual, unchanging peace, no matter what twists and turns you may encounter in this life. This is what our Savior, the King of Peace, said to us in John 16:33. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. That's a given. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, rejoice in the peace of the Lord Jesus that is constant, that is unchanging, as we stay focused on him and as we continue to trust in him. Jesus is in every way your peace. And Paul really reiterates that truth by seeking this added blessing for his readers at the end of chapter 3, verse 16, where he's already invoked the peace of the Lord, but then he ends it with, "The Lord be with you." In order to have the peace of Christ, you need to have Jesus. And may he be with you all is Paul's ultimate desire, his ultimate blessing for them, because the presence of the Lord Jesus is what brings us peace. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus that brings us peace. See, the heart of Christianity is not abstract theological truths, as much as I want our truths and our theology to be absolutely accurate. The heart of Christianity is not just a realization or even an acknowledgement that Christ died on the cross to save sinners. The true, perfect peace comes because we have an ongoing, vital relationship with Jesus, who is ever present in our lives. That's what brings us peace. We have Jesus' own word that he will be with us. The last words Matthew records for us in Matthew 28:20, just before our Lord ascends and goes to the Father's right hand. "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And Luke connects that thought of the Lord indwelling us by telling us that our Savior's words also, before he went up into glory, was that the Holy Spirit would come and take the place of our Savior. And Jesus had already promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come upon him when he ascended into glory. And we know these words, but again, let's be encouraged by the great King of Peace and the words that he has for us. If you'd like to turn to John 14, I'll give you a minute to do so. Because obviously, we recognize that Jesus is in heaven. Even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, he's not going to show up physically in the elements. But we do know that he has promised to be with us even to the end of the age. And the blessing of Jesus and the blessing of having the presence of Jesus is tied in with the blessing and the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit who is in us as God's people. And Jesus told us as much in John 14, starting with verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. So we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the presence of Jesus. Remember, the work of the Trinity together brings us peace. Here we have the Father and the Son giving us the blessed gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to give us peace in spite of all of the heartache and the turmoil of this world. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus reminds the disciples of that as well. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Remember, Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples, taught them many great things, and he assures them that even though he's leaving, the Holy Spirit will remind them of these wonderful, great truths that will help him. We haven't spent 3.5 years with Jesus in this life. I know that. But Jesus has given us his full recorded message in his holy word. And we have the blessing and the privilege of spending time in his word so that we will know it. And then the Holy Spirit can reveal to us the truths of his word when the crisis comes, when the troubles come. The psalmist said, Psalm 119, 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Beloved, spend time in God's word. Seek the Holy Spirit's blessing upon you as you seek the peace that only he can give on behalf of the Lord Jesus. Jesus once more says in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It's not as the world gives do I give to you. Remember, this is not just a cessation of hostility or conflict. This is the spiritual prosperity that comes, the wholeness that comes with being reconciled to God. And so we can have peace with God, and we can have peace no matter what circumstances we face. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Well, Paul's not done. I mean, if that were our only benediction, that would be terrific. That should be encouragement enough this week. But Paul's not done seeking the Lord's blessing upon his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica. And I've mentioned to you this before, but Paul, throughout the first and the second epistles here, has six benedictory prayers in these brief epistles. And he has one last one for the saints in Thessalonica and for us as God's people today. It's short and simple and full of great truth. Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is a common ending for Paul, and some would just say, well, Paul's just doing a pro forma type of thing, but I don't think that's true. Paul really is seeking the blessing of peace on all of God's people. It's identical to how we ended 1 Thessalonians 5:28, where again we read, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I will tell you, in verse 18 of chapter 3, he does add the word all. And I will tell you, I actually heard a sermon when I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, verifying, supposedly, and endorsing the idea of using the phrase y'all, you know, because there's a good Southern gentleman, and it's right there in Scripture, y'all. And so it's okay to say y'all. Well, it is okay to say y'all. I'm just not sure I'd go here for that point. I actually read one, and I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but I read one guy who said, well, you know, Thessalonica is in northern Greece, and Corinth, where Paul was when he wrote the letter, was in southern Greece, so the southern Grecians were influencing him, and that's why he said y'all. Again, I doubt that's true, but I share all these things with you so that you can be fully informed as to what's out there. Why would Paul put all in here? Well, he did it in 16 as well. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I think the best explanation, it's a beautiful reminder to us of how gracious and loving God is. Remember what verses 6 through 15 were all about? They're all about those insolent, lazy men who were causing disunity, disorderliness in the church because they weren't working. And Paul wants to go out of his way to say, even to those that I've just condemned and said, you must shun them so that they'll be ashamed, my God's grace and his peace can extend to even people like that. By his grace, he can bring you back. And so what a wonderful testimony of God's grace. We can all recognize that, yes, we have gone wayward on our Lord oftentimes, but his grace is extended to us. And it does bring peace to all of us as we rest in him. So the grace of the Lord Jesus grants the peace of the Lord Jesus. You just can't have one without the other, because none of us deserve the peace that Jesus brings. Left on our own, we would never be reconciled to God, and we would never be made spiritually whole. Only God's grace extended to us in the Lord Jesus Christ has made us right with God and has broken down the walls that separated us before we became brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We have the peace of the Lord Jesus because we have the grace of the Lord Jesus. And we must continually seek for these blessings in our lives. Paul frequently began and has ended his epistles with this divine combination, as he does so at the very beginning of 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, when he greets the brothers there, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So may Jesus, our King of Peace, continue to grant us his grace, the blessed peace of all times, in every way, through the work of his indwelling Holy Spirit. We have that assurance he will. So we should always be those whose minds are stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we can trust for our peace. And may we also be grateful people. May we loudly and unashamedly proclaim each day of our lives, Hosanna. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, the world does not know the peace that you have given to us as your people. And we so often take that for granted, or so often do not have the peace that we ought to have or exhibit it in our inner being and in our outer being. Father, if we truly have the peace of Christ, we will be a grateful, a thankful people. Our hearts will be stayed on you, and we will forever sing Hosanna. Forgive us for not being those people. Help us by your grace and peace to more and more to be those people. And if there are those apart from Jesus, would you grant them grace? Would you grant them peace? Would you cause them to end their conflict with you? Would you cause them to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus, the one who died on the cross to bring peace to sinful men? And we thank you for that gift in Jesus' name. Amen.